Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
That you mentioned the traffic numbers, because we do have an ongoing traffic study right now that will be concluding at the end of June this year. They wanted to get a full year of data, and everyone said, well, why are you doing a new study? And the information that we had from the previous studies were so outdated.
Ashley Hoffberger yesterday talking with Pensacola Right Now and our show in the afternoon, Chris Bryan, and talking about beach traffic. As we highlighted quite a bit of this yesterday, it wasn't just the one huge day over the weekend that's been reported widely. It was the information presented at the TPO meeting last week that it was all these days, all last year, that, you know, of the 80 Friday, Saturday, and Sundays available, there were only, there were 66 of them, or 64 of them, depending on how you count, that were full, or, well, over 20,000 cars, which is the benchmark for a high-volume day, meaning that the traffic is not getting better. It's getting much, much worse, and we are at our limit at the breaking point, as the traffic engineer actually said. I know a lot of you shared that information on Facebook, and, yeah, I mean, that's the point. What do we do? Well, you know, she's the District 4 County Commissioner, so they asked, and she says, first of all, we are in the middle of a traffic study. It's going to go through the middle of the summer. It's been ongoing since last summer, I believe, and they're trying to get current data to really know what's going on with the traffic, and I know some of you are like, we already know what's going on. There's too much of it. Okay, but you need better information than just that.
Yeah, the traffic congestion management plan out there, that is also going to address parking. Can we fit a parking structure on the beach? If so, where does it go? How big does it need to be? How do you get people into and out of the parking structure? So all of those things will be a part of this comprehensive traffic congestion management plan. So I am so excited to see what recommendations they come with.
Yeah, and, you know, you have several elements to this. Obviously, improving parking capacity at the beach would be ideal. Well, that means going vertical, most likely. That's going to be expensive, $43,000 a space, we learned from the Florida West expansion recently. Then you've got the same problem of capacity on the roads there. You know, 399 is not six lanes, and it's not going to be. And so how do you, you know, handle the capacity of getting there? That's its own challenge. So parking and road capacity and the transition from the one to the other, these are all the issues. And, you know, what are we going to do there? Well, she says, once we have the study, we can start looking at the alternatives. And she's as curious as the rest of us are. As far as eliminating small things that get in the way, we've already done everything we can with traffic signalization, you know, remote operation of that traffic signal on Fort Pickens and Vita Luna, but also, you know, maximizing the flow of traffic through the remote operation system. That's part of what she was talking about. You know, the ATMS, the Advanced Traffic Management System, that's housed over that new building they're building on W Street. But also the toll plaza is under reconstructive surgery.
But the first bottleneck of traffic is the toll plaza, and it's because people think they still need to stop and hand over a dollar, or they get confused what lanes are open and what lanes are closed. And the truth of it is that technology is outdated. We can't even get new parts for it. That's why the left-hand lane's down. So we're going to remove the toll plaza, put in a simple gantry system, much like what you would drive underneath if you were driving one of the toll roads in South Florida. That way people don't feel the need to stop or put a dollar out the window or read the signs. It will be a much smoother flow of traffic. And, of course, the technology upgrades there. And we're also running fiber to the red light as well for upgraded traffic controls.
Yeah, upgraded traffic control by fiber being run, also being able to drive through and not be, you know. I thought it's interesting that the technology in the existing Bob Sykes Toll Plaza is so old that they can't even find replacement parts for it. It's common problem. You know, you buy a government thing and then you don't maintain it, or you do maintain it, but, you know, 30, 40 years later, guess what? They don't make that part anymore. No more cathode ray tubes for that radio. You know, like, they just, it just doesn't exist. Did I even do that right? Is that a CRT would have been used in the radios, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. Yeah, almost out kicked my own coverage knowledge.
Coverage there. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see, obviously, what's going to happen with that. 437-1620. The other thing that Chris asked her about yesterday, this is, again, Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, District 4, which includes the eastern half of Pensacola City, UWF-ish area, and then also, you know, down to the beach, includes Pensacola Beach, was about the Escambia Children's Trust, which, you know, is on the agenda for tomorrow. The board is supposed to take up the question of whether to put that on the ballot to rescind it mid-decade. Remember, it was a 10-year project, and, you know, we voted 61 to 39. The mayor talked about this yesterday. We voted on this, and when I say we, I mean, it doesn't mean me, but I just mean everybody collectively. We voted to do it for 10 years, and now Mike Kohler, essentially, Commissioner Mike Kohler, has had it. He hates the program. He wants to get rid of it, and, you know, he's hoping to get at least two other votes on the commission to go with him. I don't know about this whip count. My wife actually asked me yesterday, you know, how many people are going to, is it going to be on the ballot? And my first answer was, oh yeah, it's going to be, you know, maybe a 4-1 or a 5-0 vote. And then I thought, well, I don't know about Ashley. And it turns out she's not in favor of putting this on the ballot. I don't know about Lumen. You know, and then you just got to find either Steven or Steve. So I don't know exactly how this vote's going to go. But in any case, she was talking about this yesterday. I'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Home Outlet Pensacola. Home remodeling for every budget with savings on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more. We'll see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 10, we've got a semi that's partially blocking the ramp there. It looks like it's a disabled vehicle, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, I got somebody correcting me. CRTs are for displays, vacuum tubes.
The TV.
Well. Yeah, no, you're right. And I thought that when I was saying, I'm like, I don't think this sounds right, but I'm just going to say it, and there's nobody old enough to correct me. I know this texter is my age, so, or younger even. Somebody says, build a massive parking lot in Gulf Breeze at the Live Oaks Park, which will take state and federal cooperation, provide shuttle service to and from the beach, essentially a large park and ride, which is a thought. Yeah, I mean, people have been coming up with, and my own crazy idea that I still kind of like, the more I don't think about it, the more it wants to be thought about, is if we just took Garcon Point Road and extended it down to the beach, west of the, you know, like near to where Portofino is. Would open up the east side of the beach, would make a grid out of the three bridges and the beach. I know it's crazy, but I can't stop thinking about it. So somebody, you know, smarter than me is going to have to come up with the reason why something like that couldn't be done. But that's, you know, maybe not exactly at that location, not like through the Walmart and Tiger Point golf course. But anyway, that's an idea. The crazy one. Okay. In this conversation about the Escambia Children's Trust, I'm going to do you a math favor that you didn't know you wanted, but you're going to be really happy about it. I'm going to teach you what a mill is in a way you can understand. In a minute. Before that, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, you know, great condition, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles, their sweet spot. They only sell good cars. They sell cars that are not new, but almost new. You know, they've had one, possibly two owners. They maybe don't have that brand new car smell. They might. I mean, you know, sometimes that smell can linger for a while in a good way. But they sell you cars that are in great shape that they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they want to stand by their product. And their goal is to give you a great price on a good quality car and treat you well, not like the way a lot of times you feel you get treated at a car place, so that you come back again and again and you buy all your cars from them. That's their goal. Lifelong customers. That's what they're trying to make. And that means they do it differently than other places. And find out for yourself. Go to buy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to Ashley Hoffberger yesterday on the afternoon show here at Pensacola Right Now. Asked about the impending vote Thursday on whether to put the referendum on the agenda for the November ballot to rescind the Escambia Children's Trust, even though we're only halfway through the 10-year commitment.
And so essentially what's being asked is that we reconsider it earlier. And I think that's almost detrimental to the program because we don't really know what's the outcome going to be, right? So we wanted a 10-year run, and we're stopping short of that 10-year run. And if we look at the information provided by Children's Trust, they are servicing a ton of kids throughout the entire county, kids that would otherwise not get services. And it's going to leave a gap in the community. And I think that is something that people aren't really taking into consideration right now.
Yeah, I mean, there are kids who are dependent on this. At the same time, I think the opponents would argue, well, that's the problem with government funding. As soon as you fund something, then you get more of it, and then you get people to get dependent on it. You can never get rid of anything. I have a different take on this, but her other comment was...
I will say overwhelmingly the emails I have gotten have been in support of Children's Trust and the people that see the value in that. I also like how it's a protected pot of money. It goes to children's funding. It is on your tax bill as children's funding dollars. And you can go right to the Children's Trust Fund website and look at exactly where that money is going, how much money is in reserves, and it is very, very transparent. So I love those protected pots of money, and I hope it'll be something that we'll be able to continue to provide in Escambia County.
And all of that is true, yeah. She says she's getting overwhelming support on it through email. I know that the school district and other analysts say, look at the improvement we've had in school grades as a result of the Escambia Children's Trust. Even though it had some controversy in the beginning, a lot of that has passed, and the work that they're doing is very good. Okay. The Escambia Children's Trust, whether it goes on the ballot or not, I actually think that this is a terrible idea to put it on the ballot. Not because I support the program. That's irrelevant. I actually can't remember whether I voted for it or not. That might seem weird to you, but I just can't. Because I know I was so conflicted on whether to support it or not. But we voted for a 10-year term. Are we just going to review every vote we make when we think, you know, suddenly we're not happy with it? I mean, seriously, this is a question I would ask Commissioner Kohler. Okay, you're saying we're halfway through the 10-year term and you're frustrated, so you want to ask the voters to vote on it again. Okay, well, should we have a vote on your office in 2 years? Should we have an automatic recount vote halfway through or every year? Should every commissioner face a recall vote every year? How about local option sales tax? 10-year term. Should that be, asked to be rescinded 5 years in or 3 years in? Like, what vote wouldn't this apply to? One of the things I really like about the Children's Trust structurally is the fact that it was a 10-year term and you have to vote to renew it. So it automatically sunsets unless we renew it. And I agree with the mayor that this is going to come up again in a few years. We'll talk about it then. But you made a 10-year plan. We voted on it. We committed to it. Don't back out halfway through. Follow through. I mean, I love sunset provisions and the idea of that being the way we're going to do it. So, Or do you think we've hit all the goals in our community for affecting the lives of children? I mean, is the problem that we're doing too well as a community with the kids and we don't need to fund this thing anymore? Or is it just frustration that the Children's Trust didn't want to roll over and do what you wanted on particular spending projects or that were not what the people voted for in the first place, which I think is a part of it. And again, I'm not a big supporter of this government Children's Trust. I'm just saying, I'm on the fence, but my community voted for it, 61-39. So, do it. Anyway, I promised you I'd tell you what a mill is. You ready? This is the second time in the show I'm going to do math on the radio-ish a little bit. Not really. But this is actually, because I was telling my wife, we were talking about the Escambia Children's Trust yesterday, and she says, how much is it again? I'm like, I think it's around a third of a mill. And she's like, what the hell does that mean? I said, no, that's fair. People don't know what that means. And it's 0.38, or it's 3798, but it's 0.38 of a mill. And you're like, I still don't know what that means. Okay. I'm going to give you the hard way and the easy way. A mill is a thousandth. Okay. Percent is a hundredth. Okay. It's not million. It's not once it's a thousandth. Okay. But that's still not the thing that's going to think a millimeter, like in metric is a thousandth of a meter. Okay. But there's the easy way to think about it. A mill is a tax on the value of your home. That is 1,000th, a single mill is 1,000th of your home's value, which again, I know you think, I don't know how to do that. No. You know how much your home's worth. It's worth $400,000, okay? Now, obviously, there's the Save Our Homes that has limited the taxable value, and there's their homestead exemptions and so forth. But let's take a $300,000 home as just an example. A mill on $300,000 is $300. You know what your home's worth? Just take off the last three digits. A mill on a $300,000 home is $300. That's easy, right? Okay. So now let's make it hard. Four mills on a $300,000 home would be four times 300, $1,200. So your property tax, if the millage in the city or the county were four mills on a valued home, not the price of the home, but the way the taxable value is, on a $300,000 home, it would be $1,200. Okay, so what is the actual tax in Escambia County? I'm glad you asked. In Escambia County, unincorporated county, it's 13.4 mills. So what is 13.4 times $300,000? It's about $5,000. So in Escambia County, you pay thousandths or 1.3% of your home's value every year in a tax. But again, I know the math is complicated, but just chop off the thousands and multiply by the mills. So $300,000 home times 17, or sorry, times 13 makes 4,000. Sorry, 4,000. I said 5,000. $4,000. City of Pensacola is 17 mills. It's 4 mills more for being in the city, and it's about a 2/3 mill left for the sheriff MSTU. So a $3,000 home times 17 is 5,100. If you're in the downtown improvement zone at plus 2, it's 19 mills, so it's 5,700. So Escambia Children, I'm just giving the total tax. Think about your tax bill. Think about the value of your home. You understand the relationship now. So the Children's Trust is 0.38 mils, or almost 0.4 of a mil. So 0.4 of a thousandth, I know. But on a $300,000 valuation home, what's $300 times 0.0004? It's $120. Okay? Your contribution to the Escambia Children's Trust, if you have an ordinary value home, is about $100 to $120, if that helps. Okay, so, and all right, can I do one more wrinkle and make it worse? I've done a good thing and leave it be. Do you understand it now,
leave
John?
Leave it be, yes.
Do you feel like you understand it?
Yes.
Value your home, chop off the three zeros, yep. Multiply by the mills, that's your annual tax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Wow, look at that.
I solved a problem.
I know, right?
Maybe.
Okay, well, where do you find your millage at?
If you go to the Escambia County or the Santa Rosa County Tax Collector, it will show you exactly what the millage is, and it will show it by type, by county, by school board, by sheriff, by library, and all. It's all right on the both tax appraisers' websites.
Okay, cool. Well, no accidents to report to you, nor delays right now. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. 98 looks good. Highway 29, 9 Mile, all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from IQBar. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at eatiqbar.com/policy/terms of service.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBar.
Try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. And now you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping when you text RADIO to 64,000. Text RADIO to 64,000 to get your 20% off. That's RADIO to 64,000.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
As soon as I get home, the first thing I'm gonna do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Yeah.
but he mumbles like Eddie Vedder. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I heard John mumbling along with I could have been big in grunge. All right, and also, nobody does it like Jackie Gleason. Oh, man, what a treasure. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning.
You want to do your headlines in the style of Eddie Vedder?
No, I'm okay.
All right.
Just in the style of myself.
Go on.
Where was I here? The U.S. is expected to announce an indictment today of Raul Castro, former Cuban president, and the brother of the late Fidel Castro. That indictment is expected to deal with Cuba's shooting down of humanitarian assistance planes back in 1996.
Yeah, this will have absolutely no effect at all, except maybe ask Nicolas Maduro what he thinks about the U.S. setting right. you up as a... I don't know. Catch and release or just catch and catch for Castro coming up. All right, what else you got?
Well, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. The Colorado Avalanche hosting the Vegas Golden Knights for game one of the Western Conference Finals.
All right, very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. What else do we have going on? Oh, Senior Chillout is coming up June 5th, Friday, June 5th at area Lowe's stores. In conjunction with Pete Moore Automotive and, of course, the Council on Aging West Florida. We'll give you more details when we get closer.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump's powerful endorsement paying off in a big way for a number of GOP candidates. In key primaries across several states, Fox's Madeline Rivera recaps the marquee matchup in Kentucky.
The result in Kentucky's 4th congressional district is a victory for former Navy SEAL Ed Gelrein and President Trump. Gelrein defeated Congressman Thomas Massie by almost 10 percentage points in the Republican primary. This was the most expensive House primary ever.
In Georgia, Congressman Mike Collins and Derek Dooley advance to a Republican runoff against Democratic Senator John Ossoff. If the Trump administration says it's ready to strike Iran again, if Tehran remains unwilling to budge on its nuclear program.
The IRGC put out a statement saying if the aggression against Iran is repeated, the regional war that was promised will this time go beyond the borders of the region.
Fox's Trey Yanks, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees with looks like cloudy skies here across the area, and we will get a more in-depth look at our forecast from Channel 3 up in just a few minutes. Well, construction on downtown Pensacola's Palafox Street is in its final days now. City officials say that project is on track to finish on time. Project manager Adrian Walker yesterday says crews are now focused on the final details as fencing and work areas will be shifting to nearby side streets.
We're really ramping things up in these last few days, so I'm literally getting probably half hour, hour kind of check-ins from the team down there, just seeing where we're at with progress. As the mayor said, we have removed about half of the Romana Street fencing. That northernmost block is now open for pedestrian movement.
And the city's hosting a ribbon cutting on Friday afternoon to celebrate the reopening and encourage residents to return downtown to support local businesses impacted by the project. The updated corridor now includes brick pavers, drainage improvements, and pedestrian safety upgrades. Vehicle traffic is expected to return to Palafox at the end of the month. Well, the Highway 399 and 98 interchange in Gulf Breeze getting a complete redesign. Gulf Breeze City Manager Sam Abel yesterday saying that concept is a reversal of what's there now. Instead of 399 going over 98, 98 would become the elevated road. And she said, yeah, the sailfish sign could even be relocated.
I mean, it is definitely a historic landmark. It's registered as a local historic landmark. So I don't know, but, it might have to be scooched. That's an official city manager word. It might have to be scooched.
And Abel says FDOT is now working on formal planning and environmental studies after the city and the agency aligned on priorities, including the 98 flyover and a multi-use path extending all the way to Okaloosa County. Escambia County commissioners are set to vote this week on backing a state grant request that would add three new mental health positions in the county. Lakeview Center is seeking the funding to support the existing mental health court, hiring a case manager, peer specialist, and program coordinator. The push comes as Escambia County holds the highest overdose mortality rate and highest mental health hospitalization rate across the state. Commissioner Mike Kohler says the county's support costs nothing. It's simply a pass-through endorsement of Lakeview's application. Escambia deputies investigated a possible explosive device yesterday. The sheriff's office responded to Tampico Way and Tampico Boulevard. And this was about 9:30 yesterday with a report of a potential bomb. The EOD team, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, was called out to evaluate and just got an update from the sheriff's office. They said that device was determined to be non-explosive. Santa Rosa County commissioners are set to vote on placing the renewal of the school district's half-cent capital outlay surtax on the November ballot on Thursday. The existing tax funds school construction and facility improvements. School Board Resolution 2026-01 authorizes the ballot placement, that is, if county commissioners approve that on Thursday. Thursday at 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
All right, brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? No accidents to report to you right now, and we take a look at our roadways. If you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile, you're going to see about a five-minute delay. But other than that, all the other roads look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing another beautiful warm day today. Temperatures near 85 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures tonight near 75. We're going to be looking at that nice pattern on Thursday as well, with a 20% chance of rain, high near 84. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. And keeping that small 20% chance of rain on Friday with a high near 84 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Target has posted first quarter earnings and revenue that topped expectations and raised its full year sales outlook. Same store sales rose 5.6%, the retailer's first increase in the key metric in five quarters. Its shares are up by 3%. CEO Michael Fidel, who took over earlier this year, is trying to reverse a prolonged sales slump at Target. Oil prices have dropped by more than 2% this morning as investors weigh mixed signals from President Trump on whether U.S. will resume war with Iran. West Texas Intermediate at 101 per barrel, Brent at roughly 108. Treasury yields moved lower this morning following a sharp sell-off across bond markets as inflation concerns continue to weigh on investor sentiment. The 10-year Treasury was just under 2 basis points lower in early trade at 4.653%. During yesterday's session, it reached its highest level since January of last year. Futures are slightly higher this morning as markets await for NVIDIA's earnings. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Spring is here. Oh yeah, and it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue cater. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, visit sunnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 6:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Brad Baker is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. He always joins us the day after, the Wednesday after the committee meetings. That's kind of like the agenda review meeting in Santa Rosa County. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. When are y'all going to change it from committee meeting to agenda review officially? When are you going to change that name?
Yeah. It doesn't matter, does it really?
Fair enough. I'll allow it. A couple of clarification things. One thing that's going to be on the Thursday agenda to officially pass is the renewal of the Santa Rosa School District 0.5% sales tax, right?
That is correct. The board of county commissioners has approved the ballot language, and even though this is a school board initiative, you know, they had to bring their referendum wording and resolution to our board. So the board did move that to the consent agenda. That'll be on the November 3rd general election ballot along with Santa Rosa County. So we approved our wording at a recent one, and the ordinance will be coming, I believe, at the next meeting after it completes advertising. So both of those renewals, and I reinstate that, renewals of 0.5 cent will be on this coming November ballot.
Each of those is good for how much money? And they're separate, but we have them now, okay? So it's not like this would be a new tax. This would be a renewal of the existing tax. But how much revenue is each of those, ballpark?
Yeah, ours generates roughly $16 million,
okay,
somewhere in that range annually.
Same. So, and since it's the same tax, it'd be the same for the school board. So about $16 million. Yep. So if you want to forsake $16 million of capital improvements every year, then, you know, don't vote for it. If you want to keep capital improvements and road funding going, you know, although $16 million doesn't buy what it used to, but it does. It is not zero. That's the important part. So again, the local option sales tax for the county has already been approved as the referendum question. The school board one is going to be approved, I would assume. It's on the consent agenda on Thursday, and those will both be on the November ballot. How concerned are you that, I mean, you know, voters or Santa Rosa voters, or, you know, how concerned are you having both taxes to renew the same year?
Oh, it's definitely concerning. I hope the people will pay attention and get educated and understand what it really does. I mean, it is limited to capital infrastructure, so roads, drainage, things like that. For hours, the school board is limited to facilities. So, you know, I'm definitely concerned, especially with two being on there. It's going to be on the back of the ballot, as it always is, because that's just how local stuff falls to the end. So it's very concerning if people would understand the impacts of that. I mean, $16 million a year. Right now, the board puts 60% of that to roads. So, you know, just over $9 million, doing rough math like you were earlier.
Nah.
Nine
How'd you like my explanation of millage, though? It was clear, right?
I did. I did like that.
Thank you.
I did like that. You know, we move a lot of capital projects. We have a lot on the list that, you know, we'll be bidding out that Woodbine interchange from Para through Vinewood, widening and improvements, along with some other capacity in that area. So, I mean, that's estimated engineering $26 million for just a little over a mile, complicated mile, but, you know, road roads cost money and capacity costs money, and we've been investing in that. So just get educated and help us, you know, fix the woes of the past in Santa Rosa County.
And by the way, that I wanted to kind of mention that for a second. You guys were talking about that, and for anybody who knows the Five Points area, this is very important to you. That's a crucial intersection in Santa Rosa County. If you don't drive through there, maybe not as interested, but I want for the people who know that area, can you tell them if this all gets done and approved and funded? You were talking a lot about Tunnel Road. You're talking about how traffic is going to flow through there. What is the real plan here? What is going to change from people's on-the-ground driving perspective?
Well, lane capacity would be one thing. Intersection improvements. We've already done some light timing, but obviously it'll be more effective when there's more lanes to cue people in and make the intersection more functional. It will allow, you know, we have that suicide lane on Woodbine Road. It'll allow us to do some improvements to that past the Tunnel Road area. You know, we were looking at taking the Berry Hill connector or Berry Hill Road straight across by the Circle K so you don't have to turn left and then turn right to get on the Quintet. The other thing, it'll be a limited access.
By the way, I know for people who don't know the area, you're like, I don't know these names. But my producer, John, who lives in Milton, is like, he's yes, 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 everything you say. Right, John?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so go ahead, Brad. Keep talking.
Yeah, so limited access means that you're not going to just be able to turn wherever you've been turning, you know. So we've planned out the intersections, the one that make the most sense. Of course, like I told the commissioners, when you do limited access, like, it's going to make some people really happy and it's going to make some people not happy because they're going to have to change their traffic pattern. But I think with all the improvements, it will make a marked difference. Like we're seeing at Highway 90. I mean, Highway 90, we're looking at expanding some of that stuff. It didn't quite do what I was hoping it would do on all fronts, but it has made a marked improvement in the same thing there at Woodbine and Shemuckle Highway, that Five Points interchange. You know, we're in design on Berry Hill Road for four laning that. That first leg will be from Five Points down to the creek, basically. So, you know, lots of exciting stuff, but it does cost a lot of money. You know, if we'd have done this 20, 25 years ago, it would have been much easier. But like you said, people in Santa Rosa are very conservative, and, you know, we haven't had a millage increase in quite some time. Don't anticipate one. So, right. You know, we have to deal with whatever funding source we can. And that half cent, what I like about that is it allows everybody who shops in Santa Rosa County, and we're putting more opportunities to shop in Santa Rosa County is coming. So, you know, it gives us the opportunity to spread that love to our visitors and people passing through, et cetera.
Somebody asked the question, is there somewhere that they can see actually on a map the plans for the Five Points improvement? Is that in the backup, the visual? Because I'm the same way. Just show me on a map.
This, it was in a previous discussion, and I can work on getting that posted on our webpage. The design that the commissioner wants to talk about Thursday on the regular agenda for Tunnel Road, there is a map on there.
Okay.
That's what kind of got the back and forth discussion going when we're limiting access. Do we want to do that now? Do we want to wait? So we'll see how Thursday expands on that. But we'll be bidding that hopefully in July. We're working out some gas line conflicts and adjusting some drainage so we don't have to move as much gas line and all that. And you can just imagine the utility conflicts at that Five Points interchange with power, with water, with sewer, with gas.
And if I read it right, actually, you know, let me do a quick traffic and we'll come back. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. John has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything is going good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If I read the Tunnel Road change correctly, it will basically make it so you can't go straight across at that intersection because westbound Tunnel Road is going to bend down to hit a 90 off Quintet instead of that oblique angle that it's got now. And you just won't be able to drive straight across there in anything like the current way people might do. And that will improve traffic because you won't have the conflicts caused by people trying to cross. Do I have it right?
For that one.
For that one, right.
Go back to the original discussion. If you go to the other end of tunnel where it hits Shemuckle Highway, that's where when we do the four lane, the widening, the limited access, there will not be a cut through. So You won't. There'll be no desire to come down Quintet Road from Escambia County, turn left on the Tunnel Road to turn left on Shemucla, because you can't turn left on Shemucla after we do these improvements.
Okay,
and
so it's really
where you see the people stopping, the people getting rear-ended, like the, you know, the poor young lady who got killed out there. Mm. That's the improvements we're talking about. But what this will do is, yes, it'll make it where you can't go straight across, take out some of the conflicts. I think a turn lane, we'll probably have that discussion on Thursday. Does a turn lane make sense? When there was a previous rezoning, they showed some videos they had done to make their case, and it actually said, wow, a turn lane would probably solve 95% of the problems there.
And so, again, just for clarity, if people are doing what you say, coming from Escambia, they're going to take Quintet all the way down to Five Points to come back up Shemucla Highway. That's at the Circle K. That's the plan, because you don't want them doing the cut through, because that's creating the problems. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's a great example of making traffic harder to make it better. You know, because sometimes the problem is the thing people are doing that they think is shorter that winds up creating the conflicts that you have to kind of prohibit, because that's the source of the problem. I don't know that intersection as well as I wish I did, but that explanation, at least that makes sense to me. Anything else that was on the agenda from last night or from yesterday morning that you want to highlight for people or mention to them that's going to come up on Thursday?
No, it was. I mean, we've got a lot of neat stuff going on. We're continuing to move forward with our wastewater treatment plant out in the industrial park, and that'll bring some needed jobs to Santa Rosa County, nice high-paying jobs. Doing some drainage repairs down at Oriole Beach Elementary School that has long-term standing flooding problems.
The conversation about the speed enforcement at the school zones, which really that's already been passed. This was only the contract to enter into the engagement, but Major Bringman's did such a good job of answering the objections. The short thing that people want to know is this allegation that there's going to be license plate reader flock style cameras on the posts in the school zones, and we're just turning Santa Rosa into a giant surveillance network. False, right?
That's correct. It is not. They will all be activated if you go over 10 miles an hour above the school zone when the school zone is active.
Right.
So they have to be reviewed by a sworn law enforcement. And if you didn't follow the previous conversation, what is shocking to me, knowing the school zones, is we had some people doing 72 mile an hour in our school zones during a flashing 25 mile an hour school zone, 72 miles an hour. From the data we collect.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's just crazy.
And the expectation is from other places where this has been tried is a reduction of 90% to 94%. So, or real impact. You know, if you're the kind of person that squeals every time you see these people speeding through the school zones, this is your project, man. Like, this works. So, you know, I'm a believer in it as well. I think it makes sense. And I like what Bobby Burkett said. You know, look, if you're going to vote me out of office for trying to save kids' lives, we'll go ahead and do it. Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker, again, the regular meeting is going to be on Thursday. Brad, as always, thank you so much for the time. I know you guys have your big, emergency activation exercise going on tomorrow. Best of luck. I hope it goes well. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, you live in that area.
Yes.
Anything you want to say about what we just – it all makes sense to you?
It made sense, but a listener just made a good point that Circle K, people are going to start cutting through on that.
Don't they already?
They do, but
not as much.
Right.
I would expect that's part of the plan. I don't know. I didn't have Brad on. He's not here still to ask him, but I'm assuming they're anticipating this, and they will – find a way to make that not work. Because, you know, you see this sometimes. Like, I think of in Escambia County, a sort of a good example of this is, you know, right at Davis and I-10, where you get off and if you turn left going west, okay, and there's that median that divides the lanes of Davis Highway, this super weirdest, ridiculous thing ever. Well, that's to prevent people from going across and getting back on 10 and from people being confused about how the traffic works and causing problems. So they put that median in and it looks weird. Same thing at 29 and 10 when you get off there. Same thing. That's kind of an FDOT pet now, I guess, is you put in these divided, dedicated lanes and the little barriers. But it prevents people from doing the dumb thing that creates the problems. And, you know, if everybody is selfish in the same way, it actually causes more trouble than if everybody would just kind of follow the rule and do what you're supposed to do and not do the cut through, then everything works out okay, you know? But, you know, humans.
People. I'm like, humans.
I know. But then again, you know, humans. All right, if you need any work done on the complicated systems in your home, the plumbing, the electrical, the heating, the air conditioning, a generator maybe installed or serviced, Peden takes care of all that stuff all along the Gulf Coast. They started in 1969 just with air conditioning and, of course, heating, and then expanded to do the other things as well, and geographically from Panama City west, of course, to Pensacola, east to Tallahassee, into the eastern time zone, and then west past the border, even over into Baldwin County the last couple of years and Mobile about 2 years ago. And now they're all along the Gulf Coast, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work, good people, good products, good installation the first time, do it right. And this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and that means you go to the top of the line when everybody's clamoring, and 15% off repairs all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now and checking the roadways. 98 is looking good. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, experiencing about a six-minute delay there. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
I dream to be the joker. My smile is a scar.
Ladies, gentlemen, you really got me looking.
Like a Pac-Man, back up, I come back like a Batman.
This is straight off of John's playlist right after the Nitzareb from earlier. It's a.
What?
I'm probably saying her name wrong. Noga Eras is the name of the artist. So, yeah, I like that song. I like to listen to a lot of different things, you know? 657 on News Radio 92.3, informative. Local, dependable. Somebody says, well, it's illegal to cut through the Circle K at 5 points. Yeah, funny about that. It is. But I asked Brad, I said, you know, hey, man, what are you going to do about this? He says, probably curbing and signage. The plan is to design it so it'll still allow access to Circle K, and they'll kind of see how it turns out. I suppose they might try to put in a – is there a turn lane to go into the Circle K on the right?
On the right.
If you're coming south? Because then you could – maybe put up those barriers. I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested to see as well. But they're well aware. You know, of course, you could just put a cop there.
I mean, they do have a light there, so that's kind of helped a little bit. But yeah. That was my question. Was that
fair enough? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. By the way, this is just a highlights to me an issue that if you really want to understand a traffic problem, just go talk to a half dozen locals who live there. They'll tell you.
Yeah, you had to go to Para or something like that.
The engineers sometimes, I think the goal would be to just go survey the locals, and they'll give you a lot of information about how to solve it because they deal with it. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headline. David?
The FBI says two teen suspects behind the deadly shooting at the Islamic Center of San Diego Monday were radicalized online. The suspects killed three adults at the center, including a security guard, before they were later found dead from self-inflicted gunshot wounds. The U.S. is making a special exception to health regulations to let the Democratic Republic of Congo's soccer team into the country for the World Cup. Currently, non-Americans who've been in the DRC, Uganda, or South Sudan are barred from entry because of the Ebola virus. And Nashville is hosting Super Bowl 64. The league announced Nashville is the home for the February 2030 game. During an NFL owner's meeting.
What are you saying over there, John?
2030.
Yeah, well, like I mean, make forever. Your plans. Ask for time off work.
Okay, I'm going to put it in now.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 90.